idea of looking for a miracle. I mean, thanking God to do something. Amen. And nobody else can do but God. We just thank God for that. Amen. We bless the Lord for being here tonight. Amen. We forgot one prayer request. We did meet a gentleman today, and he asked us to keep his son Cesar Lewis in prayer. Amen. So you know, we promised him we would pray and Sister Gail in prayer. Amen. So let's remember those names. I'll put them on the prayer list. His son has some rare disease. He has just had surgery on his brain for a tumor. Amen. So we can tell them about some of the holistic remedies. He said, send me all that you can. Amen. This is a time of desperation. Yeah, he's a chef and he wants to volunteer to help out here as well. Amen. So there's so much to be done. But two, we just thank God. Like, we thank God for my wife and keeping her in her health. She was giving them her testimony of how God has blessed her with MS through the years. Amen. And now that the doctors wanted her to be on medication, but this is one of the few times when a specialist told her to do the right thing. He said, if you don't need the medication, he said, don't take it. He said, no matter what they say, he said, every medication has side effects. He said, initially, it will seem like it's doing you good. He said, but in the long term, it will debilitate you. He called me in. He said, as long as you can deal with the situation, deal with it. He said, because the side effects of the drugs in the long run will have a negative effect. Amen. She's a living testimony of how good God has been to her. No, but the scripture said, according to your faith. Amen. And I know many times they tried to put me on medication for different things. As long as I can deal with the pain, I can deal with it. Amen. If I can deal with the pain of being beat up in football and carried off the field for the first time, I can deal with all this other little stuff. Amen. So I just bless the Lord for that. But tonight we're going to continue our series on a spiritual self-examination. And before we left, we went over being self-absorbed. And as I said, the Lord, as I was praying and preparing before we left for Georgia, the Lord said they're not getting it. Now I can say this, God told me this. Can y'all say praise the Lord? Don't get quiet on me. The Lord said they're not getting it because they're still too self-absorbed. When you're self-absorbed, you can't see God because of you being in the way. Amen. So we're going to continue this. We're going to repeat some of the stuff that we went over. Amen. We're going to use a lot of scriptures. So those who want to take notes can take notes. And if you don't want to take notes, but you want to give them more earnest heed to the things which you've heard, listen, anytime we let them, let the scriptures that we ought to receive with meekness, the engrafted word, because it's able to. It don't mean to re-say, it means to deliver you in your present situation. Right? When you receive it with meekness, it's able to deliver you with whatever you're going through. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to stand because we don't want to belabor the moment and we don't want to overtax you. But it's just time. It's time to rise up. Amen. It's time to be what God would have us to be. We live in a very dangerous time spiritually. And as Bishop told us when we were in Georgia, he said, he told myself and Pastor Harper, myself, to be dramatically correct. He said, they're missing it. He said, people are focusing on everything and they're missing all that's taking place around us right now. He said, all the signs of the times point to these are the last days. He said, but people are preoccupied doing secondary things. And they're missing what God is doing. I'll pray tonight that we're not missing it. Amen? Yeah. We're going to read from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. And once again, we're focusing on self-examination, self-absorbed, self-centered, full of pride, and full of self. All right? Self-examination. When you're so full of self, one of the worst deceptions you can have is self-deception. That is the worst deception because you will never see yourself as you really are because you are deceived. Amen? Amen. Galatians chapter 6 verses 1 through 10. I'm not going to get y'all to say amen tonight because I know y'all are feasting on whatever the word is.
Amen.
So since you're going to feast on the word, we won't get you to say amen.
Amen.
But a tree is known by its fruit. So if the tree is receiving the fruit,
amen,
we ought to see some results.
Amen.
So I'm going to let y'all be quiet, but let's see a change. All right? Amen. Verse 1 reads, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Once again, if a man think that he's all that, and a piece of bubble gum and all the rest of that, and he ain't that, the Bible says he does what? I know y'all like that little stuff. Amen. Verse 4 said, but let every man prove his own word, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And Lord, and blessed to the reading of the word in the church said,
Lord, Lord, bless the Lord.
Amen. And you may be seated. Truly blessed. One other thing I forgot to make an announcement. We want to thank God for Brother Timothy and for Brother Justice spending almost 7 hours doing the carpets yesterday. Amen. Can we give them a praise the Lord in the name? Amen. Sister Timothy worked so hard. Brother Timothy went out and brought her a sub to eat at church.
Amen.
We won't give all the details exactly how you brought it, but he got it. It's not what, how he got it. The only thing that counts is that he got it. Amen. But don't remember the spot that was here. It's almost home, but they were here from yesterday morning until almost 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Amen. We thank God for that. Brother Timothy said, they won't come here on Saturday and see that big spot. Amen. My birthday cake. I'm still looking for it. Amen. We thank God for that. Amen. Like I said, it was a labor of love. Back and forth and back and forth. So we thank God for that. So once again, tonight we're going over being self-absorbed. Amen. It's hard to truly see yourself. It's hard for me to see myself when you are all full of yourself. It's hard to see your errors when you're full of self. It's hard to see that you are walking contrary to God when you're full of self. Even King Saul got to the point that he was full of himself. Prophet Samuel said, when you were small in your own sight, he said, you walked after God. You were humble before God. He said, that's when you were full, when you were small in your own sight. He said, but now you're full of yourself and you are doing things that God did not call you to do. So when you're full of yourself, you don't see yourself the way you really are. But how many know God sees us as we are? Amen. So when you are full of yourself, you deceive yourself to believe that you are spiritually minded and doing what God wants you to do, when at the same time you are not doing what God would have you to do. One of the most important things that we can ever do in this life is to be obedient to God. Amen. We should know the mind of God and walk in the will of God. And when we went to Georgia, I actually had the message that I prepared was not being in the secret place, but God changed that. But the message I had was, are we hiding in the will of God? Are you hiding in the will of God? Are you under the shadow of God and hiding in His will? Or are we doing what we want to do? One thing is, if you're under the shadow of God, then you know that you're walking in the light as He's in the light. That's what gives you the shadow, is light. You never get shadow in darkness. You only get shadow in light. And Jesus is the light. That ain't the message, though. I'm just saying. All right, we could develop that, but that's not, that would take us off our course. What we're trying to do tonight is we want to be obedient to God, and to be obedient to God and to walk in His will, we have to put self aside. The scripture says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Y'all with me? So you can't be unwise, but we have to know what is the will of God. It's impossible to know the will of God when the focus is always on you. Amen. And we went over this last time. And Job's three friends reasoned with him from chapter 3 all the way up to chapter 31. They couldn't get anywhere. And then in chapter 32, the first verse, he said his three friends ceased to reason with him because he was righteous in his own eyes. So from chapter 32 all the way up to chapter 37, Elihu, who comes in the stead of God, tries to reason with Job. Amen. So for six chapters, Elihu, who was a man of God, and God said, tried to reason with Job. But Job still was righteous. He did not get it. So in chapter 38 of Job, 38 up to 42, for five more chapters, God Himself had to speak to Job. And God asked Job a question. He said, Job, will you disannul my judgments? He said, Job, are you going to count what I have to say to mean nothing? God said, will you make yourself righteous more so than me? He asked, he said, will you contend with me, Job? Amen. So from chapter 38 all the way up to 42, God begins to deal with Job. And then chapter 40, Job finally started getting it. He said, I will put my hand over my mouth, and I won't say anything else, because Job realized that all of his righteousness was not pleasing to God. And tonight, we don't want God to have to speak personally to us to get our attention. So let us get it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are
spiritual,
restore such a one in the spirit of. Well, can you be spiritual and selfish at the same time? No. I'll answer. Right. Can you be all caught up in self and spiritual at the same time? So there is someone in church in need of help, but you can't help them because your focus is not on God and being spiritual, but is on who? Self. Amen. Verse 2 said, bear ye one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think to be himself to be something when he is, he
deceives himself.
He said, now when you're caught up in self, if I would use our everyday English for a better understanding, he said, when you come up in self and so full of pride, you will think you're something when you really are
nothing.
You elevate yourself to a high plateau to be something and you are nothing. He said, and you know what? Not only do you elevate yourself, but you are deceiving yourself. So when you're self-absorbed, it's hard to see yourself, because every time you look, you can't see others to help them because of who? Yourself. So the scripture says, if you want to be spiritual, the first thing you got to do is get out of self. Amen? Let's go to James chapter 1. We can spend a little more time in this, but let's move quickly through. Let's go to James chapter 1. So the first object to overcoming self and being self-absorbed, self-centered, and selfish and full of self is don't be deceived. Actually, before we go there, go back to chapter 6. Let's go to verse 7 for a minute. Verse 7 of chapter 6, all right? It's so important that we don't want to be deceived. We don't want to deceive ourselves, and we don't think that we're going to go with an example of someone that tried to deceive God. You cannot deceive God. I don't care what you do. You can put forth all the efforts in the sight of man, but you cannot deceive God. Amen? Chapter 6, verse 7 reads, be not
deceived.
Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also
reap.
Now, it's interesting. They say God won't be mocked because you can fool everybody else. But you cannot fool. You can trick everybody else, but you cannot. You can pull the wool over everybody else, but you cannot pull the wool over God. Over God's eyes, okay? So it says that you can't mock God. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Amen. And then he says in verse 8, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap. That's self-absorbed. That's selfish. That's self-centered. You're just worried about your flesh. Amen. He said, we'll reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life. And let us not be weary. Somebody said, well, I've been doing this for a long time. It doesn't seem like I'm getting any results. He said, don't be weary in. Don't be weary doing what's right before God. For in due season, you're going to reap if you don't faint. Keep pressing, keep pursuing. Now let's go to James chapter 1. So the biggest hindrance to us overcoming and being what God wants us to be is moving self out of the way. Amen? Self. Self is hard. It's hard to see sometimes self. In Proverbs 16:2, all these chapters that we went over all last year, in the 16th chapter of Proverbs verse 2 reads, all the ways of a man are what? Clean and is. That's selfish. That's self-centered. That's self-absorbed. Because no matter what you do, it's never wrong. Even if it's wrong. Right? Because you're so self-absorbed, you say, hey, I did it. It has to be right. And somebody come along and try and help you out and say, no, that wasn't right. So it's all the ways of man cleaning his own eye, but the Lord is weighing your spirit. God said, you know what? You're doing it. He said, but I'm checking your spirit out. You're not doing it for the right reason. And like I said, a little later, we pray to God to get that for. We'll go with some individuals that were doing what looked good, but they did not have the right motives. Amen. And then Proverbs 21:2 says, everywhere of a man is clean in his own eyes. What way? Everywhere. I know you. I want y'all to say too much. I want y'all to say. Right. Every way of a man is what? Clean and selfish. Self-absorbed. Self-centered. You ever meet people like that? Not in here. Oh, y'all all right. I ain't talking about you, Liz. This is you, right? Can y'all relax? Such a serious look. I'm about to put on blindfolds or something. Put them on. I don't put them on. I'm looking at y'all anyway. Y'all look at me, I'm like, let's look at you. Right? But everywhere a man is clean, you ever meet people that no matter what they do is right, even if it's wrong? It's a bad situation when 99% of people say what you're doing is wrong, and just you say, I ain't wrong, it's me and this is what I'm going to do. That is, you got too much you.
Amen.
And nothing anyone do can clean you up because you are self-absorbed. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, be ye doers of the word and not hearing only, because if you just come to church and all you ever do is sit in the pew, hear the word and leave out of church and don't apply it to your life, it says you would do what?
Deceive
your own self. You cannot continually come to church and hear the word of God and not put it into application in your life. Amen. You're not receiving the word of God with meekness. Amen. You're not allowing it to mold and shape you to be what God would have you to be. He said, if you just keep hearing the word, if you keep hearing about being self-absorbed, self-centered, and self-willed, and you don't do anything about that, and you go out, you are deceiving yourself. Amen. So it's not important just to hear the word, but we must put the word into application. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. All right, then let's get down to verse 26 of the same chapter. All right. We're just dealing with the idea, even though it was important, it's important what's between. We're dealing with when you're deceived. And when you're deceiving yourself, we can never deceive God. And if you're dealing with someone that has a prayer life and in tune with God, you cannot deceive them, but for so long. Because God will pull back the covers. Amen. The scripture says that concerning our sins, when you don't live right before God and you think you can hide, you say eventually that thing will find out. God's word is so good. And we can try to excuse it and hide it. God said, you know what? You just keep doing what you're doing that is wrong. He said, that's the same situation going to find you out. But what's the scripture? Be not deceived. Right? God will not be. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So your situation, you keep hearing it and keep doing it. He said, that situation, and you know it's wrong. He said, that thing will find you out. Amen. Verse 26 says, if any among you seem to be saved, there's a whole lot of people in church claiming to be saved. Religious is being saved. Amen. Because he's not writing to the world, he's writing to the church. He said that for all those pious, holy, righteous people that seem to be saved, seem to have it all together spiritually, seem to be going in the right way. He said, if they cannot bridle their tongue, right? It says, if you can't bridle your tongue, you deceive your own heart. Amen. We're talking about deception. We're talking about being clean. We're talking about being pure in the eyes of God. He said, wait a minute. You can pray all you want to pray. You can shout all you want to shout. You can dance all over the church. He said, but if you can't bridle your tongue, you're deceiving your own heart. He said, and this man, religion is in
vain.
If you don't say amen, say ouch.
Amen.
Wait a minute, you saved and you're doing all of that, and then you can lash out and talk, lash and tear people up. Years ago, so this ain't none of y'all, years ago, I used to watch people in action. I used to say to my wife, wow, I know leadership, not leadership, I don't know. I know they're holy saints. Holy saints don't give you permission to talk to somebody all ugly and nasty. That religion is vain. That's what the Bible says. I don't care which archbishop you are. I don't care which chief apostle you are. That does not give you a permission to act ugly. God said, you're deceiving your own heart. And you might want to get it right because your religion is in vain. Right. So being saved does not give, I don't care if you're in the world. I know, I didn't finish yet, but I'm going to get to it. I got you. I'm coming back today. I'm coming back.
Okay.
That's a family thing. I think I'm coming back. I can't come back. I can get more forward. Being saved doesn't give you permission to act ugly. I used to tell my wife, I'd be like, I'm in the movies. I wasn't in there, it was popcorn. I'd just be like, wow. a child, you're supposed to honor though they have been over you. You don't disrespect them, and you can talk ugly, and all I can say is, wow. I used to tell my wife, I don't know. You know, when I first got saved, I was a little messed up. I was like, I don't know what this salvation stuff is to me. Because when I'm not saved, people in the world can talk like this. I'm just telling you the truth. How you in a church and telling somebody off all the time and then brag on it? I'm talking back in 1950. That's how I'm going back in 1950. And I was born in 57, so. I'm listening, honestly, God was our witness. How you gonna be all saved and you can't hold your tongue for nothing? Telling any and everything off because you can? The Bible says you're deceiving your own heart. Can we let the Bible speak? Amen. It ain't what it means, it is what it means. You can't just go, even if I'm a parent, can I go there? Most of y'all parents, your kids are old anyway, so y'all don't have to worry about this. Just because you're a parent, you can't tell your kids they're no good for this and that, and run them down and speak, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. God don't give you permission to have an unbridled tongue. Unbridled tongue means you don't have no control. What that thing starts? James said that same tongue. He brought some little lady in the third chapter, I believe, or the second chapter. He explained what that tongue was. That thing is an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. If you can't control your tongue, your religion is in. You know, he said you need to get saved. Right? Because we're supposed to exercise control. But I can't say that to you. Y'all got that right? Anybody didn't get it? If you didn't get it, raise your hand, I'll say a little more. Y'all got that? Right. Y'all say, I don't want to raise my hand. I don't want to stay here. I don't want to talk about me. I'm talking about you. It's time for the church. We should both, our speech is supposed to be seasoned with poison.
Grace.
Supposed to be seasoned with ugliness.
Grace.
Supposed to be seasoned with telling somebody off.
Grace.
Supposed to be seasoned with grace. If you don't control your tongue, and you all self-absorbed, call off yourself. I can say it because it's me and what I want to say. We're going to go over here a little bit later. But I got to keep going, all right? Amen. So we don't want to be like that. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So we went over people that are self-centered and self-absorbed in themselves. They have no room in their heart for God, little more for anyone else. When you're really self-absorbed, you say, I know I should spend some time with God, but I've been having these plans, I have these goals, and I'm not going to let anything prevent me from achieving my goal. Nothing. You don't have time for God, a little less for anyone else, because you're too self-absorbed. Somebody said, well, what about God? Well, I got to work on my own situation. You're too self-absorbed. God is trying to get your attention. Amen? Self-centered people will glorify themselves and not God. Always talking about their accomplishments. What I've done. I heard him say in Corinthians, no flesh will glory in his presence. He told the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, he said, don't think it's because you missed the big stuff and missed big stuff that you've accomplished what you've accomplished. He said, don't you realize it's me that's giving you power to get to where you presently are. So we should always have a mind to come back and tell God, thank you. We shouldn't be like the nine that got healed, got blessed, and kept going their way. We should be like the one stranger. They came back to tell the Lord, thank you. Yeah, Lord, you've been good. So I want to say thank you. Lord, you've been kind. I want to say thank you. I had a death sentence with leprosy. No one was healed. That was, whenever you got leprosy, that was terminal illness and a death sentence. Not only was it a death sentence, but you became an exile and you couldn't even fit into normal society. You had your own little area that the lepers were confined to their own little camp that they were assigned to. They couldn't even mix. I went from being in exile, isolated in my own little colony, to being back in the regular life. I got to at least tell God,
thank
you. But when you self-absorb, I got healed. I'm just going to keep on moving. Don't forget to tell God, thank you. They trust themselves more than they trust in God. Zechariah, the Bible says, is not by might, nor is it by your own power. God said, but it's by my spirit. It's not what you've done. It's not what you've done. You're not where you are because of anything you've done. But we are where we are because of God. So we have to tell God, thank you. Amen. When you're full of yourself, you don't have any respect for God. Alright, when you're full of yourself, you have no room for God. Even if you know God, you will question his wisdom and put your knowledge above him. Even if we know God, and go to Obadiah chapter 1, we went over this once before. You will say, I know God, but this is what I think. When we start putting our personal opinion on God's word. I heard him say on David St. Peter, he said the word of God was not of any private interpretation. You know why they're so messed up today? Everybody's putting their own spin. So all the men of God speak in old days as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then when it came to God's word, it wasn't supposed to be of any private interpretation. Because when you make God's word a private interpretation, you have a doctrine everywhere. But we have to let God say and mean what God says. Amen. Even if you know God, you will question God. This is when you know you're too self-centered, self-absorbed. Who created the heavens and earth?
God.
Who created everything that exists?
God.
Who gives us life and health?
God.
Who gives us breath?
God.
So God knows far more and can do more than we can. Why do we question? That's when he asked Job, he said, Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? He said, Job, you're so self-righteous. He said, you're bigger than me, and your righteousness exceeds mine. He said, well, Job, where were you when I put the stars and the sun in the sky? He said, Job, where were you when I created the beasts in the field, and the animals, and behemoth, and Leviathan? He said, where were you, Job? And Job said, Lord, I got it. He said, I'm going to shut up. He says, God said, no, you've been talking all this time. He said, I want you to stand up and be like a man and answer me. He said, you've been talking all the rest of the time. But see everybody else, he said, I want you to answer me. Get out of yourself and let God be God. Amen. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 2 reads, behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly the pride of thine heart has
deceived thee.
The pride of thy heart has deceived. Listen, I don't care who you are, what spiritual position you in, I don't care if you're elder, pastor, minister, elder, deacon, butler, what's that in the church? Usher? What else y'all like? Singers? Anything. Whatever you got in the church, right? If you get pride, it will deceive you. No matter who you are, I start with me first, including me. Pride will deceive you. So he said unto him, he said, the pride of thine heart has deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that sin in woe be unto this individual. Who shall bring me down to the ground? He said, listen, don't you know where I am, who I am, and what I've accomplished? He said, nobody's going to bring me down to the ground. He said, though thou, God didn't exalt this individual. Who exalted them? Y'all can talk to me on this. It's up there on the screen. I know this is getting a little heavy, right? Well, you can read this. Who exalted them? He exalted what? Thou exalt Said, though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest
among the stars,
thence
will I bring thee down.
God said, when you get like that, he said, I'm about to bring you
down.
Right? You know why? Because the pride of your own heart has deceived you. And you see yourself as bigger than God. My accomplishments, what I've done. God said, though you've done that, he said, I'm going to have to bring you down. Amen. When you're full of self, you will speak foolish to people and even against God. God says that you are a fool when you're full of pride. He says, your mouth reveals that you believe that you are above God. Amen. By boasting of yourself, you do not acknowledge him. How can anyone say that they are greater than their creator? How can we say that we are greater than God? Psalm 73:9 reads, they set their mouth against the heaven, and their tongue walked through the earth. These are those that are full of, they set their mouth against God. Amen. And they are only on earth. Ecclesiastes 5:6 says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Right? We're just trying to get a bridle for our tongue. We're trying to be right in the eyes of God. So he says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of thine? This is all that make a vow that says a lot to God. They say, well, I didn't realize that's what I meant. God said, no, you knew what you were saying. Don't make God angry with you. Don't try to renege on what you promised God you're going to do. He said, God will be angry with you. Selfish, prideful hatred is not of God. If you see someone that's selfish and full of pride and their behavior is contrary, that is not of God. Can we say not of God?
Not of God.
When you display selfish behavior, you are showing the pride of life. Selfish behavior is the pride of life. You are putting yourself above God. You are self-absorbed, selfish, and you have prideful behavior. It's not of God, but it's of the world. And 1 John 2:15 and 16, we all know this by heart, but we will go through it. When you're full of pride, you're not of God. Amen? It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, then the love of the Father, if you act like the world, God is not in you, the love of God. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the what?
Pride of life.
Pride of life is not of the
God.
That is not God. That wrong spirit, that selfish, that is not of God, but is of
the world.
Amen. Romans 2, verses 6 to 8 read, who will render to every man according to his deeds? To him that by patience, continuous, and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious. This word contentious means they are selfish. They are self-centered. They are full of pride. That word contentious means that pride means you contend with God. And the dad's joke, the question said, will a man contend with God? Isaiah, I believe it's the 45th chapter, said, will you strive with your maker? Fight with God. And then he says, he used to say, when you strive with God, you ask God, why did you do this and why did you do that? Then the claim would say, why did you make me such and such a way? When you strive with God, you begin to question God. Amen? He said, but to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. You can't be contentious. God will bring you down. A self-absorbed, pious, behaving person will lie in an attempt to misrepresent their true motives. You know, you ever meet people Not in here, because all y'all are, y'all be people that are really deceptive. They say one thing, but in their heart they really mean something else. They don't have the right motives, okay? They say one thing, but they mean another. They misrepresent their true motives for who they really are without realizing that God sees and knows their heart and the truth. I'm talking about people that they go through the motions, act all a certain way, but they say, when it gets down to one of the road, meets the road, God knows your heart. Amen. Luke 16, 15. I'll give it a chance to get that. Luke 16, 15. I'm going fast so we can stay on course, okay? And verse 15 reads, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. We're talking about pride, right? Self-centered, self-willed, self-absorbed. You're always right before men. But God knows your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. We're talking about those that fail to realize that God doesn't go by your outward appearance. He told Samuel, he said, don't judge based on the outward appearance. Because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So God knows our heart. Amen. John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Now we all read about the Cana in Galilee and the wedding feast and all this. But this latter part, Jesus dealing with the Pharisees brings out something, another issue about the heart. Right? It's not good enough for us to just keep going through the motions. Motions, eventually, the real you is going to show itself. Amen? St. John 2, verses 23 to 25. Do we have that? He said, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name. So they believed on his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus, the Lord, wait a minute. I hear what you're saying, he said, but you know what? I'm not fully trusting in you. That word commit me, God didn't really trust him. They believed on him. He said, I don't trust you. Right? Say amen.
Amen.
Y'all can do it every once in a while. Say amen. I said, I can say amen the whole night. Right? So he's dealing with them. He said, they believed on him. He said he did not trust them. Right? Well, why didn't he trust them? Because he knew all men. And neither not that any man should testify of him, for he knew what was.
Amen.
He said, all you all are going by the outward appearance. They said, oh, I believe you. He said, I don't trust you, because I really know what's in you.
Amen.
He said, I don't need anybody to tell me, because I don't see as men see it. God said, they're looking at your outward appearance. He said, but I'm looking at your
heart.
We're talking about a self-absorbed individual. Amen. 2 Chronicles 6 and 30. I won't finish this, but I get through these last few chapters, okay? Then, Lord willing, we'll pick it up again. But I pray tonight that we are not just giving you scriptures. Usually I just try to quote them. I want you to see them so we can apply them. And realize that God sees us. Nobody else does. I can get my body to be burned. He saw all my goods and feed the poor, but if I don't have charity or the right motives, the Bible says it profits me what?
Nothing.
Right. We're trying to do what's right for God. Forget about the showmanship of trying to please people. It's how to please God. As a matter of fact, Brother Chris said out of scripture, I think it was the day I was going to use. He said, if you seek to please men, right, instead of God, what does it profit you in Galatians chapter 1 verse 10? It talks about seeking to please men and not pleasing, doing what's right inside of man. So 2 Chronicles chapter 6 verse 30 reads, then hear thou, this is when Solomon was praying, when God blessed him to be king and he was still small in his own sight. When his dependency was on God, when he asked God for wisdom and understanding to lead his people. And he prayed this sincere prayer. And he said, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and render unto him a man according to his to all his ways. Who hearts? So you know the heart. Solomon said, Lord, I know you should be trying to do anything because you know the hearts of men. Amen? Amen. For thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. He said, you know, and he's praying. And that's what the Lord said, well, here's my people. He said, yeah, I do know the heart. He said, but if you just turn from your wicked ways, he said, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sin and heal your lands. Amen?
Amen.
Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4, this is something that we all know. We're not talking about what people know. We're talking about what God knows. We're not talking about how people see us, but how does God see me? Amen. Am I going to say in me? Am I going to get out of myself and let God be glorified? It's time to rise, shine, and give God the glory. Psalm 139, verse 1 reads, O Lord, thou hast and God searches us and he knows us. Thou knowest my down sitting and my upright, thou understandest my thoughts. God said, before I even think it, you already know. He said, you know my down sitting, you know my upright. You know what he's saying? He said, you know everything there is about me, basically. Amen? Thou compass my past and my lying down and are acquainted with. We're talking about God, not man, but God's acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou. The psalmist is saying, Lord, there's nothing that I can hide because you know me. He said, not only do you know me, to be acquainted means you're familiar with me. Right? You can fool others, but I said, nah, I'm familiar with your ways. I know. I heard what you said. He said, well, I'm looking beyond that. I'm seeing what's in your heart, amen? All right, now let's go to Acts chapter 5. Actually, before we go there, let's go to Psalm 78. We'll read verses 31 through 37, then we'll go to Acts 5 and we'll finish there. I thought I was going to get further, but I am not going to get there. Amen. Psalm 78, verse 31 through 37. It's important that we don't just do things for showmanship for people, but it's important that we do it out of the sincerity of our heart for God. Not showmanship to please people, but out of the sincerity of our hearts, who? God. Verse 31 of Psalm 78 reads, Psalm 78, verse 31. The wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the children of Israel. For all this they sinned. God is sending out judgment. And instead of changing, they keep doing the same thing. God is trying to correct them. They were still doing the same thing. All right? He said, and believe not his wondrous word. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, they saw him. So when God had judgment, they saw him. All right? Now this one, let's see if we can find any of ourselves in this place. And if we do, we need to repent of this, right? And return and require early after. So when things weren't going right, they needed God.
Amen.
Amen? And they remember that God was their rock and the high God, their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their and they. Wait a minute. You just went to God. You're wrong. You just went to God for help. But you just give him tongue and cheek service.
Amen.
Right? You're flattering him. You're offering him, but it's only with your mouth. For their heart was not
right.
So we're trying to just get it together. You can't get it together if your heart is not right. Neither were they steadfast in his covenant. So they were saying everything, but their heart was not right. This is when you're self-absorbed and self-centered. You say, hey, I'm going to give this to you, God. You take it and you know what? I'll do what I want to do anyway. Amen. Now we're going to finish in Acts chapter 5. We're talking about not just going through the motions, not saying I'm in church, be in church. God said, you're in church, but you're not here because you love me. You come to church, but you're not here because of how good I've been to you. I've heard your testimony. He said, but I see your heart. And I can see in your heart, you're not with me. You're saying that you're flattering with your lips, you're honoring with your tongue. He said, but your heart. That's what I want. God wants our hearts. Amen. This is a practical application of someone that think they can deceive God. Motives are wrong. Amen? We all know this about Ananias and Sapphira. Verse 1 reads, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. Now they did this willingly. No one made them do it. No one forced them to come to church. No one forced them to get saved. They did it how? Willingly. Amen? But they kept that part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain portion and laid it at the apostles. Did the apostles know? No, but who knew? God knew. Nobody took. Listen, if you sold the land, okay, I'm going to give, if we just use practical thing, I sold the land for $100, I give the church 50, and we're going to keep 50. But they sold the land for $100, and they said, hey, let's deny this. Nobody's going to know this. We're going to go in there, we're going to look all good. We're going to look good in front of everybody. We're going to give them our $50. But you didn't sell the land for 50. You sold the floor? So they got together and they denied, thinking that nobody would find out because it's mine. You know, God would tell me that when it was yours, you could have done with it what you please, right? But let's not go ahead of ourselves. He said, forget that part of his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain portion, certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, Why has Satan filled that heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep that part of the price of the land? He said, while it remained, was it not thine? He said, when you had it, you didn't have to do it. He said, that was what you had. Amen? And that was so, was it not in thine own? He said, it was yours. It belonged to you. You could have done whatever you wanted to do. It was in your power. Amen. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Well, how do they know? God told them. Right? Because they were going through the motion like, yeah, but all the rest of them, Peter and the apostles, we on God's side. But God revealed a hidden part that was in their heart. Amen. He said, conceive this in thy heart. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. When you try to do things with the wrong motive just to be seen, you're not doing it. You're not lying unto men, but you're lying unto who? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave him the gold, and great fear came on them all that heard these things. Why? Because they weren't being honest. They were being deceptive. They had denied the plan. And this, we're going to do it like this, we're going to look good. Because I ain't looking at what you're doing, I'm looking at what's in your heart. I wasn't at the church. Ever get to the place of realizing God sees our hearts. Amen? And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him back to bury him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me, whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, yea. But she was being deceptive, not being honest. Then Peter said to her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? How are you so self-centered and so full of self that you don't think God's going to find out what you're doing? He said, why did you get together and connive this plan to make it seem like you're all on the Lord's side, but in your heart, you weren't on God's side?
Amen.
He said, you connive this thing in your heart to lie to God? Well, who were they dealing with? Were they dealing with God? They were dealing with who? The leadership. Church leadership. Peter and the apostle were in charge of the church. So they were misrepresenting the truth. God corrected them for lying to him, though they were lying to the leaders. You with me? So let's get it right, okay? So he goes on to say, in the next verse, he says, behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and to carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and healed up the ghost. And the young men came and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. Great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. But what was the problem? They were being deceptive. They were full of self. And they wanted to look good for man, but failed to realize that God saw further than what they were doing. As we all stand, that's far enough for tonight. Lord, I just want to be clean. David, after he had sinned and came to himself, he said, Lord, wash me. Lord, purge me. Lord, I want to be clean. I want it tonight, as the elders and the ministers come forward, have any of us been so self-absorbed that we are always in our own way? And as everyone stand, do we want to ask God, wash me, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean? He said, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David said, Lord, whatever you do, I realize I've made a mistake. I've been wrong. He said, but God, don't cast me out of your presence. He said, and don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. And David said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Salvation is the only thing that counts tonight. Being right, not in your flesh, not in my eyes, not in anyone else's eyes, but in the eyes of God. The scripture says, we read in John, he said, God would not commit himself to them because he knew what was in them. And he didn't need anybody to tell them because he was God and he knew. It's so important tonight to be right with God. We have to be honest. God is never impressed with deception. God is never impressed when we misrepresent the truth. But God only accepts the truth. Amen.
Let me say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wow. As I was sitting there, all I did was say, Lord, purge me with this. Wash me. Make me white as snow. Hallelujah. And you know what kept coming to me is the Lucifer syndrome. Because he couldn't see God. He knew that God was there, but he lost sight of God because he couldn't see God. And this is what happens to us in our everyday dealings. We don't see God. He's not a physical being, he's a spiritual being. And because we don't see him, I often wonder, do we really believe that God is all that the Bible says he is? Do we believe that he sees everything? Do we believe that he sees us in our moments of weakness? Do we believe that he knows what's going on in our mind, twist the truth and makes you believe a lie. We need to know that God is. He's all that they say He is. He sees all. He knows all. He hears all. And even in the privacy of your home, in the quiet of the night, those thoughts that you're thinking about, those things that you're struggling with, God's there. He knows. Hallelujah. He knows there's not one thing that you haven't given up yet. This is an opportunity tonight. Oh, I think